4 of this extravaganza. We call TSN Mornings is underway. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you until 10 o'clock. That's when Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech will take over. It's a quick turnaround from Creech, hosting the postgame show last night. Probably a much more positive experience last night than the night before. We always know that people, they love to be fired up about things, right? And that game on Wednesday was fire-upable. Last night, a little less so, as the SN scored a 3-2 win over the Carolina Hurricanes. The flow of play, not unlike Wednesday's game, total domination by the other team. But the Sens got some incredible goaltending from Anton Forsberg.
Canes get back in. Here's Shabbat in behind the net. Knocks the puck away back in front. Save is made. Loose puck's out of the net, and Forsberg makes a massive save. Oh. And right now, Nino Niederreiter is going, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? Look what hit me, says Anton Forsberg, because this puck just did that.
Yeah, that was the one, if I remember correctly. I think that was the pass out from behind the net where he wasn't even, he was actually playing the puck to come out the other side. Then shifted back, but wasn't even looking, and Niederreiter hit him in the shoulder. But he's a big boy, Forsberg, or relatively big enough that he got in front of it. And again, no pictures in the scorecard. Mm-hmm. 47 saves, a career high for him. Shades of first game of the season, right? When he went in against the Maple Leafs, had a tremendous game. There's been a lot of uneven play since then from Forsberg, but he backstops him to a much-needed win.
Yeah, I think overall, Jarrett, since he's come to Ottawa, I think he's been good. And now you say 4 of the 5 victories, 2 by Gus the Bus versus Dallas. You've got those two. And I think the Pittsburgh game, that's the one where they probably deserve to win the most. The other 4, goaltenders have played very well, and exactly what Matt Murray, unfortunately, has not been able to provide them this year.
So that was Anton Forsberg ends up being the biggest story of the night last night. The other part of it from a, I guess, positive point of view was the fact that after Carolina had come back to tie it, and there's not a Senator fan out there that didn't think that the Sens were going to, at that point, lose the game. It's just a matter of could they actually get it to overtime before they lost the game, because Colorado was dominating, and then all of a sudden they got the 2 quick goals, and you're thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. Mm-hmm. But he throws the first line back out, and they immediately score the game-winning go-ahead goal, which turns out to be the game-winning goal. Josh Norris gets credit for it. Here's DJ Smith on our post-game show talking about Ottawa's big line.
They get that power play, and they score, and then, you know, they get another one right behind it. And, you know, it'd be easy to say, here we go again. And, you know, I put the Norris line back over, and they took the game over. And that's what, you know, the people are going to see. And something they can rally behind is that's a legitimate line that's going to be good for a long time. And they came of age tonight for me is on the road, took it over, found a way to score. You see other top lines in the league do that, and it's a big night for us.
All right, so there's DJ Smith. Couple of things out of that. And listen, DJ Smith, and I begged on him a lot, couple of things. The challenge was a gutsy move in a 1-0 game, because if he ends up in the call, I'm not saying that the call – shouldn't have gone in Ottawa's direction, but it's always a Scooby-Doo mystery when it goes to the war room, because you're never quite sure how it's going to turn out. But Ottawa did get the call. But to challenge it in the first place, I'm talking about the Formanton goal, took some gonads, and it ended up paying off. So credit to him for that. And I don't know if it's out of the coaching handbook or whether it's guts or, you know, whether it's your gut or whatever, but throwing the number one line out there, probably the smart move after Carolina had scored, but that was a prescient move. And they end up scoring the goal.
Yeah, hey, you call a timeout, Jerry. You're doing whatever you can, and you feel like, and I guess that's also, you're up against the wall. You just want to get a victory. So, no, full marks for that, and he's right going forward. It'll take a little time, but Tkachuk to Norris to Batherson, obviously what you have to build in behind them, but no, they're fun to watch when they're clicking, and more than anything, just fun to watch when they're headed the other way instead of defending all the time.
I know that no line is set in stone forever. But did you find it interesting that he kind of alluded to the fact that when he talked about that line, he sort of said, you know, that's going to be a line that people are going to enjoy for years to come here in Ottawa. It's almost like, you know, I'm just going to write in 7, 9, and 19 on my starting unit here for every game as long as I'm the coach of the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, it appears to be that. Now, I would also think in the back of his mind, whenever Pinto returns, that it would be Stutzla with Pinto and Brown. So, no, I think there's some obvious there. There's some chemistry. A lot of guys will talk to you, or times they'll talk to you, Jer, and say how much they enjoy that. So, no, if you're looking to build a foundation, then why not start with a line like that?
Unsigned Texan at 12-1200. If DJ had to save his job, And by getting a win last night, he did it last night. That comes from Unz. Do you think the coach's job was on the line last night? Did you get that sense?
I don't know, JR. I get the sense this is all real quiet right now. And when some of this other talk is now starting to swirl about ownership and stuff, I've always find that a weird thing. And I'll use, of all places, Carolina. Jimmy Rutherford, the 1 year, had Pat Burns in town, right? And if Paul Maurice lost one more game, I think they end up running the finals that year. It's a very strange thing because here you are saying, well, Ottawa got completely throttled, got fairly lucky to win a game. If you're walking out of that building last night on a decision, should I fire my coach or shouldn't I? Well, I wouldn't look at the result of last night and say that. So I have no idea. I know these things take on a life of their own. Mm-hmm. As to what direction it would go in Ottawa right now, I have no idea. So I'll say no, but like I said, nothing would surprise me.
Tim writes, I get that we're trying to find positives for this team, but it's a little far-fetched to use a term building block after last night's game. They didn't look good against a team that's on a bit of a losing streak. The Sens outshot by a wide margin. Huge change is needed to make this to be made on this team. It's god-awful. That comes from Tim.
Yeah, and Tim, again, I love hockey, JR. I'm excited to go to the game tomorrow night. There's times.
Me too. First game of the year.
Yeah, you know, like I'll go back even the Ranger game this year. I was working that game. That was a hell of a hockey game. It wasn't Ottawa hanging around. It was really kind of a well-contested, good goaltending. Murray gets hurt, and all of a sudden they end up losing it. But that game there, you're like, okay, you know what? This is perfect. This is what I expect out of a young hockey team. Rangers are a nice hockey club. With the stretch that they've been on, and I watch a game like last night, it really takes me back to an expansion team. Like, there isn't a building block out of last night other than you just got extremely lucky to hang on and win a hockey game. So we'll see how they react tomorrow night. But, yeah, I'm still incredibly concerned about where this team is at right now, and I wouldn't feel any different if you told me in the month of November this isn't the only game they win. I wouldn't be shocked, Jared. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but, man, come on. Like you don't see this happen very often in today's NHL. I believe last night was the first time any team in the NHL has given up 49 shots the whole year. Like, we're talking about Arizona.
Really?
Yeah. We're talking. Well, we hear so many stats here. I thought that was the most shots given up by an NHL team so far this year. Hopefully we can
maybe
look
in
it
a
up.
Win?
No, but I thought it was.
Nobody's
just
gotten to 50 shots in a game this year?
Well, that's, again, okay. You know, and again, they also flashed up the margin of shots against Ottawa. Last time they won games was 93 and 94, where it was, what, plus 29 or whatever you want to measure it, right? Was it 49-20, the final shots?
Yes.
You know, so some different things there. Like, we're talking Arizona. We're talking another team just came into the NHL in Seattle. Like, you are right at the very, very bottom of where I thought Buffalo would end up being. So, like I said, they won the game. But, man, that's not a game where I look at yesterday. The Rangers game, of the games I've been to, I was fortunate enough to be at the Pittsburgh game as well. That was a really well-played hockey game.
Someone wants to throw a wrench at the TV folks for picking Forsberg as the second star last night. That was, again, I don't read too much into stars. Sometimes they're like, who we got a picture ready of?
Yeah, it was pretty funny in Montreal. They mentioned that Suzuki had won the Molson Cup for November. And they're like, do they actually have a Molson Cup for November? And this is where we all grew up on it, right, JR?
I mean, that was
a big thing at the end of, and I didn't grow up on
it. You get basically points for every time that you're a game star, right?
No, and growing up here in Ottawa, I'm sure the same thing in the Toronto area. You know, they would come out and you'd have the TV and you'd have the star basically, you know, the person would skate out and it was framed by a star. And the three stars with Claude Mouton saying them, it was a big deal. Now it's more like just a passing thought. I don't think it means a whole lot, nor should you read too much into it.
No, game star has kind of, it's for whatever reason, sort of lost its luster.
Yeah, it really has,
And for me, I don't expect them to, but it kind of lost it for me, actually, and maybe it was never this case for a long time, but when players for visiting teams stop going out to be acknowledged, other than
point.
Maybe when they're skating in their hometown, to be acknowledged by fans. That was like, okay, they don't give a you-know-what, so why should I?
And the other thing that made it pretty prestigious at the time was it was directly linked to Red Fisher, was it not? Like it.
Oh, really?
I thought of the Montreal broadcast, and I'm sure Liam McGuire is listening. But I thought it was like, okay, Red Fisher, the iconic writer for hockey, the three stars is chosen by Red Fisher and the Molson Cup and the Molson sponsor. And then, like I said, having Claude Mouton, the way it presented itself, and that was generally on a Saturday night for me. Yeah, it was just very different. It was like, oh my God, Red identified me as one of the three best players in the game. That's incredible.
Right, and that was back in the day, obviously, when all games weren't televised. And you know, many many people's only descriptions and accounts of a hockey game were through the newspaper that came out the next day.
Yeah, and the Saturday night was really such a big deal to watch a Habs game at home on a Saturday night.
Simmer writes unsigned, why is the director of player development on the road with the NHL team? Wouldn't the team be better served having him in Belleville watching the development of our young players and our $6 million goalie? That comes from unsigned. I have to say, that thought has occurred to me as well, that for his title, which is, again, Senior Vice President of Player Development. I'm talking about Pierre McGuire now. And I don't know what happened in California. They didn't show a lot of TV shots of Pierre Dorion and company, of who was on that trip, so I can't speak to that specifically. But by and large, Pierre McGuire has been right beside within arm's length, sometimes a little further away. Yeah. Fist bump length of Pierre Dorion for most games.
Yeah, and one of the big things, JR, when you go to check into the hotel, who has a complimentary suite? That right there. No, I don't know if they'd be bunking in together. Like, it probably not, right?
I'm guessing no.
Yeah,
so, but I don't make assumptions.
No, exactly. And Pierre McGuire did invite you to Montreal last year, right? You're in the playoffs.
What?
Remember we have the fun clip because we were joking about him having Saint Hubert, right?
And then anyways, you like to come to my room.
Yeah, no, and so again, I'm joking. But this whole dynamic, like, let's be completely honest, guys. Pierre McGuire was hired by Eugene Melnyk. Okay, so when you're hired by an owner, what are you doing? Like, I'll pretend Pierre McGuire's security at the grocery store, because that has been a reference in the past. You're coming in to basically assess, and I'm assuming to go back to the ownership and kind of tell them what you're thinking. Right. That's a rationale as to why he. So when people also get caught up in titles, just like what's happened in Montreal, JR, and I had this conversation downstairs with an employee, and I was just talking about, you know, they've mentioned in Montreal about possibly hiring a female as a general manager. And I just asked, you know, do you think in a case of where that person isn't necessarily in charge, would you think that that's a positive for a female to be the first female general manager when everybody else knows Jeff Gorton's in charge, right? You know, and you know, when you get into...
What's your answer to that question?
Well, no, I don't think it would be. Like,
no?
I think it would.
Anyway,
well, no, I don't. I personally, like, if I'm trying to break barriers, like in the National Football League, where you have to interview African-American coaches when you're never going to hire them, if you're bringing in a female general, or anybody for that matter, bring them in because they're truly what you've said in charge, where that's what Molson said. If that's the case, Pierre, that's great. If you're bringing them in and behind the scenes that's not true, I don't think that does anyways. Anyways, going back.
Just on that particular issue, I will say, if we're just talking about breaking barriers, and if the Montreal Canadiens, in this example, were to hire a female executive in the role of general manager, would she, in this case, be the person making the ultimate hockey decisions? No. Jeff Gorton, it's widely that he has the role of, he is the head of hockey ops.
But Jeff Molson said in that the general manager would have the final say.
Okay, but we all know that's BS.
Okay.
But my point being that is still a stepping stone for someone to get into a position that's never been achieved before by a woman at it for a National Hockey League team, which would presumably allow her to learn even further in that role that might allow her then to take that next step to be a person in charge of a team at some point.
Absolutely, JR. But my whole point is that if you brought the person in, when your owner's saying, well, he has the last say on hockey ops, when you know it's not true, then I just don't like that. I like it, hey, you know, if you're coming in to mentor and you're given that, oh, absolutely. And most people have somebody above them anyway. But back to Pierre McGuire, you know, anybody that gets too caught up in you know, people's
titles
or whatever else, like, hey, it doesn't matter what it says. And it was weird that he was the president of player development, because that basically means he's in charge of Jesse Winchester and Sean Donovan. Do you know what I mean?
Correct.
So they really didn't want to extend the president of hockey operations to him. And then it was quickly said that he would be the voice of the team. Then next thing you know, Pierre Dorion said, well, I answer to Eugene Melnyk. So, like I said, my take on this is that he's here to look over what's going on with the management, look over what's going on with the coaches, and basically get a read on it and feed it back to the owner. That would be my take.
Okay, T-Box writes, two Sens goals kicked in by Carolina, outplayed 90% of the game. Start the car. That's from T-Box.
Yeah, it is actually. And I felt like at first Formanton was trying to do the Alexander Ovechkin. Remember when Ovi scored that crazy goal in Arizona years ago?
On his back?
Oh, my God. And I'm trying to, is he rotating, kind of, trying to flip it in? And, hey, and I know what Pooley said, and Randy Carlo says, never critique a loss. I think that's the most important thing, JR, in sports, is to keep an even balance and understand. And, no doubt I've lived it where you win, I don't care what happened. And also where you've played great and you've lost and you're pretty upset. Like, you know, you have to really, even more so now with the numbers, you know, break down and be honest about, you got incredibly lucky last night to come out of there. And like I said, if it allows you one day to take a break and regroup and improve, like I've said to you, JR, I kind of look at this as a month-long plan. If this is a little baby step on getting you to be a better team in the new year, great. But do I expect there to be any real carryover against the Avs tomorrow? No.
Steven St. Catharines writes, too many are, as usual, putting down the outcome of last night's game. How many games did Ottawa this year, if you change the sweaters, facing a hot goalie, outshoot the opposition and lose with a last-minute goal? Another loss? Just accept it. Sports and enjoy. That comes from Steve in St. Catharines.
Yeah, Steve, I don't know the answer to that. That's actually a real good question. Now, what I'll also say, and a little bit of fun with it, is how many times does Ottawa face a backup goaltender? But you're right. I mean, hey, there's games at Murray, more importantly, and this is back to last year, JR, where at $6 million, yeah, I probably played well enough that if I'm getting my money for my $6 million goaltender, I probably would have had some more results. So it's actually a real good point.
Okay, on to our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. And the reaction to that, the question again is, and this happened in Montreal last night, at the end of the game, is that we established that now?
Somebody threw a
Habs sweater onto the ice at the end of the game along with a hat. Again, I only saw the still picture, which is what I reacted to, and I said, never, ever, ever do this. Our question is this. Yeah. What do you think about fans throwing jerseys on the ice, no issue with it, or donkey move? And we're still sitting at the same results. 71% donkey move, 29% no issues with it. To your reaction on the texting machine at 12-1200. And again, when you text us, standard messaging rates apply. How can the jerseys be hallowed when teams routinely change it to make more money? It's a commercial representation of team, and throwing it back when play on the ice is stopped is a totally legit way of expressing dissatisfaction. That comes from unsigned. Mm-hmm. From Brent, if someone wants to throw a $300 jersey on the ice, it's on them. Makes them look like the donkey. No issue. That's from Brent. From Bob, on the price of jerseys, I own 14 Sens jerseys, all from Value Village. Average price, $17. And I wouldn't throw any of them on the ice. That comes from Bob. My vote is just for the term donkey move. From unsigned. Yeah. Joe, hey, guys, I have to agree with JR. Okay, I have to agree with JR.
He went 100 deep before you found somebody that agreed.
If you're a fan of any team, you should be able to deal with the good and the bad. It's a donkey move. That comes from Joe. Triple D, 75% of people are trying to kiss the ivory tower's ass. Come on, it's your jersey. You decide what you want to do with it. If a franchise is disrespecting their own logo and doing terrible things to the team and how it's run, blah, 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 that is the biggest thing a fan can do to show the team. I'm not okay with this. Absolutely acceptable. Wrench to JR for not only disagreeing, but shunning people with a different opinion. That's from Triple D.
Would you like to come and spend some time in my room?
No. That was the St. Hubert?
Yeah, that was a funny clip when he was in lockdown and Mom had delivered the food for him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
and Kenny.
Yeah, and the jersey thing. Here's the other thing, JR. I would assume you would agree that if you're a fan of the EPL, the fact that there is no logo in it on the jersey
don't
anymore.
Don't get me started.
So
there.
You should be able to throw that anywhere you want, right? Because the Chevrolet logo.
Take that, Samsung. So somebody.
United Emirates. I've never flied you again.
Mike writes, if it's a Filatov jersey, chuck it. Anybody have a Filatov jersey?
That was six games? You sure hope not, eh?
Sometimes circumstances warrant a graphic display of frustration and displeasure. Toss on. From unsigned.
Hey, I would only ask the thousands of people texting in, would you appreciate
Please
your
vote.
Vote? Because it's certainly this 75-25 hammer. Like, this is actually really getting suspicious now.
JR's got the troll farm there working their magic.
Listen, I am reading texts.
Russia has obviously infiltrated our poll question.
Donkey opinions on the web poll question.
Donkey is so good, though, eh?
Yeah.
It is great.
Christopher says, wrench to JR.
Yes.
The team sucks. The management should have been cleaned out 5 years ago. So throw whatever and however many jerseys you want. That's from Christopher.
Yeah, and rebuild's done.
And it's not. This happened at a Habs game.
Somehow it's
now reflecting back on the Ottawa Senators.
Karp writes, this sounds like the O.J. Simpson trial. Everyone thinking one way, but somehow JR is winning. It's from Karp and Penny.
If it doesn't fit,
you must acquit.
Well, that, I was going to say, Hammer, of all the people representing, I'm going to give you a chance to answer, Hammer, of his entire defense team, which one of the lawyers would be JR? Like, are you going Johnny Cochran? Are you going F. Lee Bailey?
Oh, I'm going definitely Cochran.
Robert Shapiro?
Just don't make me Christopher Darden or what was the woman's name?
Marcia Clark.
They were really, like, they would have won that trial if either of those two people weren't donkeys. Speaking of donkeys.
Yeah, let's throw a wrench to them and Judge Ito.
The dancing Ito's on Jay Leno.
It's 27 years ago, but it still holds to this day. Take it.
I'm going to look at Kays and Tane in particular.
How do you even from Cato Kalen, like, how do you remember all the names, right? I went up to Bundy and I went up to Rockingham. I actually drove there in my Taurus rental car just to cruise around and see what it looked like. Like, that's how big
you
it
did?
Was. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, the minute I landed at the L.A. airport, it's not that far.
Right to Brentwood?
Oh, Brentwood. Now, here's a couple of things. At the Bundy, you could have, in the jungle that was considered to be that front area, you could have probably lived in there for a number of years. There actually, rumor was there were a couple of Vietnamese soldiers that still didn't know the war ended. It was that thick. But you go up to Rockingham.
Talking about in front of the house where the murder happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to establish. Okay.
That's a big tunnel. No. That's a long tunnel.
That's the Ho Chi Minh Trail was right there. And then Rockingham, yeah, I cruised up there, but there were a lot of cops. They knew I was a tourist. They wanted me to keep moving.
Move along.
Does George McPhee know that you're spending quality supposed scouting time on retracing the steps of O.J. Simpson's murderous trail?
That was actually, I think, the same day I golfed with Jerry Cheevers and Peter Mahovlich. And then I did do a bike. I did do a bike ride along Muscle Beach as well.
A bike ride
before sliding over to the game.
Oh, did you make any stops on Muscle Beach?
I did a little 20 minute workout. I did a little workout. I did a couple of the dips there. I just didn't feel I had the right pump on, and I wasn't as tanned as I wanted to be, so I felt like I'll probably just move on here.
I'll get out of here.
If JR gets so fired up about jerseys on the ice, don't go down the road of deciding which way the toilet paper roll should be put on. He might lose his mind. Well, that's not true, although I will say, when the toilet paper roll is hung improperly in my house, I do take the time to turn it around.
What's the improper way in your house, JR? What's the improper way?
It should be under the bottom, hanging from the back.
Are you joking?
Hanging from the back?
Are you joking?
Yes.
Oh my God. Jeez.
That's so ridiculous.
Toss your jerseys at it then.
I switch it completely the opposite.
Just toss your jersey at the idea then.
I feel like you're going to get a special request to be on Magic 100 with Stu.
and argue about pineapple pizza, toilet paper,
and throwing jerseys. And I also want you to get your section going. If things aren't going well on Saturday, JR, I want you, instead of getting the wave going, I want you to get the booze going. That's what you're, and I don't mean the booze, like drinking.
Uh-huh.
I want you to start a boo course.
If tomorrow night
is
a donkey game for the Sens.
Okay.
I fully expect that the crowd will let the home team know, players, coaches, management, ownership, that they are unhappy with the product that is on the ice in front of them. Absolutely. Showing their displeasure through their voices.
Yeah, and if you're really upset and if you have a TSN or Team 1200 t-shirt, put Rodenberg on the back and toss that bad boy on the ice.
All right, keep the wrenches coming and keep the votes coming at tsn1200.ca to our tool and equipment store web poll question. What do you think about fans throwing jerseys on the ice? No issues, donkey move. All right, we'll take a break. Still to come, we're going to play Sense and Sensibilities Weekend Edition. I think first time. Try to give away those tickets, 100 level tickets to the game coming up on Tuesday versus the Islanders. That and tell you what, let's do some winning right now for caller number 21. Caller 21, 750-1200, star 1200, free call on Bell. Take care of some weekend Christmas shopping for you. So maybe this will be the last thing or the only thing you have to buy. $100 to Holt Spa. Gift certificate to the Holt Spa. Beauty gift. Any person in your life would appreciate it. One person wins it. Caller 21 right now. 613-750-1200, star 1200. Free call on Bell. Caller 21 wins the Holt Spa gift certificate. We're back with more after this on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Oh, don't we all need it? Weekend is here, 9:43. Congratulations to caller 21, Sean Bachilder. Way to go, Sean. Hopefully I pronounced your last name correctly. Doesn't matter because you're a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. $100 to spend at, not to spend at the Holt Spa. We got a gift certificate for you. So you can spend it on yourself or you can gift it to somebody. Take care of a little holiday shopping for you. Congratulations to Sean. And thanks to the Holt Spa, great spot. For providing the gift certificates we've been giving away all week. All right, a couple things, and we're going to get some wrenches, and in a few minutes we'll play Sense or Sensibility. A reminder, if you are going to the game tomorrow night, Colorado Avalanche in town, lots of star power there. A reminder that if you're going to be out and about doing a little holiday shopping, going to the game tomorrow night to, if you can, help us out build Toy Mountain, because we are accepting at the rink tomorrow night donations to CTV and Move 100's Toy Mountain. New unwrapped toys can be dropped off at the rink both tomorrow night and to the two home games next week as well. If you can't make it out, by the way, to a Sens game in person, you can still help out by dropping off a new unwrapped toy at the Sens store at the CTC during regular business hours. Last year, the CTV and Move 100 Toy Mountain helped the Salvation Army provide toys to over 25,000 deserving kids in the Ottawa area. Toy Mountain has been around for a long, long time. It is really one of the things that we do here in the building that we're most proud of. It really is, at this time of year, just makes you happy and makes you glad. And if you can help out, we would love you to do it. If you need more information on what Toy Mountain's all about, there's actually a website, toymountain.ca. All right, look forward to seeing everybody. And hopefully, if you can, make a contribution tomorrow night. Okay, let's see here. A few more texts have come in. A lot of people on the jersey thing. Hey, guys, fistful of wrenches. Hang on. Would love to see somebody toss Katarina Witt's underwear on the ice.
Delicate.
Take that, Victoria's Secret. That's from Reg Onion. That's putting a bow on several simmer stories that have come in this morning that somehow took on a life.
This is an accurate, and Backe was an NHL player with the Rangers. Like I said, both of his daughters are married to Jonathan Quick. And what's the Molson fella?
What's his name? Jonathan Quick's married to two women?
No, Backe's daughters. One is married to Jonathan Quick.
Yes.
And the other one is married to is it Molson? Or what was the fellow that played in Buffalo?
Matt Molson?
Yeah, Matty. So anyways, and Backe's good maritime guy. So pretty funny story. And what's very different about this, though, and Hammer's got some texts from law enforcement saying that that's illegal. Backe owned the rink. So technically, that is his property. That's a bit different.
I'm not even. Okay, some wrenches. Spacey. Tired old one, but a wrench too. Eugene Melnick, Trinity Development, the NCC, for screwing up the downtown arena. I feel like Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when he's trying to rent a vehicle. Give me a bleeping downtown arena. Right bleeping now. That's from Spacey.
You know, right now, we're kind of in the dumpster.
When they were making that movie, JR, that must have been a big decision to leave that scene in, right? Because that's what propelled it to be an R-rated movie. The rest of it would have been fun for the whole family and PG-rated, right? There was nothing else in the movie. But that epic rant, and I guess it hit home with so many travelers or people that rent vehicles. They probably made a decision last minute to keep it in, right?
Yeah.
And that's also very un-Steve Martin, is it not? Like his comedy is not known as being foul or over the line.
Not a big swearer.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Jim writes, don't discount what downtown is going to be like after COVID-19. Society's changed and how and where we work has drastically changed, and so will downtown. Just saying. That comes from Jim. Interesting point. I still think, and I know that, the mayor has spoken up about this, about the importance of, for all the downtown businesses, to get people who work for the government in some way, shape, or form, at least a few days a week, back to work at the downtown office tower.
Yeah, and working LRT would help too.
Well, and I'm also going to say, guys, the majority of what is going to happen at LeBreton is already happened at the Zibby, and what'll change the downtown, JR, and go back to Washington, D.C. I mean, this is going to be a completely different push to be residential in downtown. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind you would not have a Stittsville if it wasn't for the rink being built out in Canada. Now, it would continue to grow, but there's been a draw for many years of people wanting to live close to the arena out in the Canadian Tire Center. So you build it. Sure, it is that and the factor of working, but there would be a ton of residential and there'd be a lot more people moving in with it, within inside the Greenbelt than there is now.
Just the homes right now that are being built just south of the carplex there. I mean, there's not going to be any field there, surely. It's all going to be homes. It's all going to be built up.
Okay. There. Here's one on a web poll question about the jersey tossing.
Yeah.
There should be an option to check both. No issue and donkey move. I have no issue with donkey moves, but they remain donkey moves. So sling a couple of wrenches at JR for me. That's from Cowboy Shane, a.k.a. the Elmer Wrench Slinger. I am a donkey riding cowboy.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Okay.
Is that the plate? 3-2 count?
Now the 1-2 pitch.
1-2.
Break.
Strong vocal cords there as well, JR.
How many, just out of interest?
Yeah.
Because, yes, listen, I lay myself out here for the good of the show. I'm here, like, I just, like, take your shots at me. That's fine. Broad shoulders, water off a duck's back. Out of interest, how many wrenches do you have that involve me?
Not including me not going back to get the Vachon Cakes one and our hospital's busy. Those ones, which I still need and I can do, just haven't gotten around to it yet. I have 12. I have 12 JR wrenches.
I have to say, if you can find the hospital's one is a classic.
Oh, is that?
Are the hospital's busy?
It was one of those I was making, somebody called in for a contest who worked at the hospital. And I was trying to make small talk. And for some reason,
like
my opening question was, how are things at the hospital? Is it busy these days?
I just heard my buddy Pat McGarry, who's an old goaltender, and he's talking about his funeral home, and so I thought, well, how come Pat's not on our station? Also, from scouting meetings, it's hilarious, because you'll sit in the draft interview, guys, and you'll have like 6 or 7 people at times, and the one scout's sitting there, and he hasn't asked anything, so he's really, really, he's holding it, he's ready, and I'll never forget, and he's one of those people you pounce on all the time anyway, but he looks at the player, and he says, so tell me, were you big when you were small? And as soon as it came out of his mouth.
You know what? That's actually, when you think about it, not a bad question. Perhaps not properly framed.
No, yeah.
Okay? But that is a good question. Yeah. I appreciate that question. That's for the deep thinkers.
Coach, how do you assess kickers other than, in practice other than making kicks?
And again, great question by me. And coincidentally enough, that question was in reference to, I believe, Brett Maher, former Red Blacks kicker, who was kicking last night for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Did he make any?
Yeah, he did. He missed one and made one.
Yeah.
Missed a 56-yarder.
Here's what I'd also, when I watch a game, guys, from the kicking standpoint, because nowadays the kicker, obviously, for the most part, is a pretty good athlete. Do you have any idea what they do in practice, Jer? Like I know they kick, and I'm not joking on that, but it's not like you'd sit there like a golfer and hit 1,000 balls. Like, your leg, like, what what do you think? Do you think they'd kick 50 balls a day?
Oh, I wouldn't
kick
think
more?
That much.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. That's a great question.
So the rest is training and everything else, but I was thinking that yesterday. Like, and then do you decide, well, maybe let me try the other leg so I can kind of balance things out? I don't know.
Maybe kickoffs?
Well, and these guys have become just so incredible, right? You watched Greg the Leg yesterday there.
Well, look at Lewis Ward.
Yeah.
Other than the one game this year, he hardly ever misses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, 9:52. Let's play Sense and Sensibility. So I need a caller.
Okay.
What do you guys want to go with? Give me a number.
Number 13.
Number 13 right now. 6137. No, let's do text. Texter number, we'll go to break and we'll come back and we'll play the game. All right.
Okay.
Text us right now, 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. 13th texter. will play. Again, you're playing for 100 level tickets to see the Sens and the Islanders on Tuesday. That's a pretty nice prize, I think. Huh?
Absolutely. Right.
Yes. Okay, so texture number 13. We'll come back. We'll have some fun to end the show before we turn things over to Lloydie and Creature to take you through the next 4 hours of In the Box. Sens are off today, by the way. Back on the ice tomorrow against Colorado. Then again Monday. That's the reschedule game. May not be on your schedule. Reschedule game Monday in Jersey and then back home for that Islanders game on Tuesday. All right, back with the final segment coming up next on TSN 1200. On a high point, lucky caller, texter number 13 is Ron. How are you doing this morning, Ron?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Excellent. Jerseys on the ice from fans. Donkey move or no issues?
Extreme donkey move.
I like this guy already. Ron, I'm always cheering for the listeners, so I especially want you to win. Here's what you're playing for. A pair of 100-level tickets to see the Sens and the Islanders Tuesday at Canadian Tire Center. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Have you heard Sense and Sensibility before?
I have.
Okay, for those that haven't, I'm going to give two options, five questions, two options on each question. You just want to choose the option that you think will end up with a higher number. That's all you're looking for. Ron, if you get one more right than either Simmer or Hammer, you're on your way to the game. You want to go first or last on all the questions?
I'll go last.
You'll go last. Okay, I like that choice. Okay, here we go. Simmer, you'll go first. Here okay. We go. Number 1 of 5. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon points in tomorrow night's game, Colorado versus Ottawa. Nathan MacKinnon points or Austin Watson penalty minutes. MacKinnon points, Austin Watson penalty minutes. Simmer.
Wow. I think Austin Watson will be running around, but they'll want to stay out of the box based on the power play. And old Nate, although I know Ottawa will handle his speed through the neutral zone quite easily, I'll still go with MacKinnon.
Okay. Hammer.
Oh, I'm smelling a fisticuff here for Austin Watson. It's been a while for him after going back-to-back, so give me a Watson.
Oh, man, we'll get a good Colorado fight call then if that's the case. Yeah. That'll be excellent. Mark Mosier. Okay, Ron, which way are you going?
I have to go MacKinnon.
MacKinnon point. Oh, he said it with such a sound of resignation. Okay, number 2, here we go. Total points in the Alabama-Georgia SEC Championship game is the biggest game in college football this year, arguably. Total points in that game or total shots, Sens versus Colorado. So total shots in the hockey game or total points in the college football game. Simmer.
I'll go total shots in the hockey game.
Okay. No reasoning given. None needed.
No, just, yeah.
Hammer.
Yeah.
I'm going football. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Ron?
Same with me. I'm going to go football.
Going football.
Yeah,
okay.
Ronnie.
All right. Here we go. Number 3 of 5. I can't believe how exciting this is. The longest running play in the Hamilton-Toronto CFL playoff game on Sunday, the longest running play, or Artem Zub ice time rounded to the nearest minute. Longest running play or Zub ice time? Hammer. Or Simmer.
No, I know Zub will be 20-plus, but no, I think looking at the weather, there's going to be running game. I'll say run for sure.
Okay, Hammer.
Yeah, this is the one place I'm going to agree with Simmer. I'm taking the running play.
Okay, Ron, you going with the boys or on your own?
I have to go with the boys.
Okay, all right, fair enough. That one is boring.
Bit of a donkey move.
Okay, number 4 or 5. Ron, you don't need to take that. Put Simmer in his place. Okay, all right, number 4, here we go. Cale Makar, shots plus missed shots plus attempted shots. So those are 3 different stats. Or Sens second period shots on goal. So Makar shots plus missed shots or and shot attempts or second period shots by the Sens. Simmer.
I think old Kale's going to be jumping, and I think attempts and power plays and everything else that are going on, I'll end up going Cale Makar.
Okay.
Second period has not been a strong one, and the long change even at home will be tough.
Hammer.
Oh, Sens are feeling good, and I feel a dominating second period for the Sens coming up.
Wow.
Why are you laughing?
Nothing. No, are you picking that?
Send shots, please.
Okay. Ron, which way are you going?
I'm going to have to go with Makar, unfortunately.
Okay.
What is that? What now? Why is it being framed that way? That's being anti-me, right?
No.
No, it's being anti-Sens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm a Sens fan,
Ron's so. A real fan.
That's
there
a great
you
point, Ron.
Come on, Simmer, some people listening to the station are Sens fans. I know it's hard for you to believe. Here we go. Last one, fellas. It's at an end, really.
Yeah.
Okay, lowest point total of any NFL team that plays on Sunday. So basically the worst score that anybody puts up in any of the games on Sunday,
okay,
or Total shots on goal by the line of Stützle, Connor Brown, and Nick Paul. Total shots by that line or lowest score of any losing team on
it's
Sunday.
One of the easiest you've ever put out.
Well, go for it, Simmers.
Well, no, I mean, there's somebody's either going to get 3 points or shut out in the NFL, okay, and they're going to at least get four. So, okay, well, I'm going shots on goal all day long.
Okay, Mr.
Now when you say the line, uh-huh, obviously Stützle can get those on the power play. So.
It doesn't matter, just those three players.
Okay, yeah.
They're going to start as a line.
Yeah,
so
no, I'm going with the line for sure.
All right, Hammer.
All right, I'll take that bet, Simmer, and I'll take the fewest amount of points scored by a losing team.
Okay. And Ron, you're breaking the tie here.
Yeah, I'm going with the Sens and 3-2 win this week.
Okay, and he's calling the victory,
nice,
too.
Nice.
He's going with the line and the win. Okay.
Is that a bonus point? That should be a bonus point for Ron if he gets that right.
Absolutely. Okay. Ron, we wish you the best of luck. We'll have a full report for you on Monday, let you know whether you won the tickets or not. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the game tomorrow and your weekend, and good luck on Monday.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
All right, there goes Ron, another satisfied customer.
Yeah.
And with that, we're well past our allotted time. It, like, 4 hours wasn't enough. We need to cut into the next show.
It's amazing what a victory does, hey?
We haven't spent a lot of time on the win last night. Probably maybe could have spent more time. If we're gonna be super negative on the times they lose, we should be, you know, at times spend, or maybe not. Maybe it was just, hey, win's a win, baby. Start the car. Move on to the next one. All right, look forward to it. Don't forget, 67's hockey for you tonight here on TSN 1200. They're in Mississauga. Kenny Walls will have the call.